a tryout on us? I'm ready. Mrs. Spear. Very good. All right. God shall be with you is our lesson today. Anybody else have a Bible memory verse? Janie. Amen. All right. We're good. Stacy. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Cindy. Good. All right. Good. Anyone else? All right. Well, Mr. Spear, will you take this bag around to the ladies that, I think there were four ladies that said one today. And we'll go to Genesis 48. We didn't have a lesson last week because of our missionaries that were here. But now we're back in our book. I don't have any more books to give out. But we are almost done with this book. We'll start a new booklet next month. But we are in lesson number 11, page 45, and Genesis chapter 48 is where we'll be most of the time. And we've been talking about Joseph, and here Joseph has been sold as a slave in Egypt. His brothers did that to him. God used it for his glory. Joseph experienced some really unusual things, some hard things. Spent about 13 years thought to have been dead, and then at age 30, he becomes second in command of Egypt, and he is put in charge. Did you get all four, Mr. Spear? Who didn't get one yet? Jane's got one. Stacy's got one. Cindy got one. All right. Oh, you didn't get one? Oh, Stacy. All right. Mr. Spear, count to four. All right. Just give him a hard time. So, remove his socks and shoes. Is that what you said? Yeah. All right. So we've been talking about this man, Joseph, and here his father and his brothers are getting things right. His brothers getting things right with him. There's all of a sudden a shock that he is alive, and now he's coming back. Thank you, sir. And he's coming back. And so there's rekindled hope. And Jacob has gone now to be with Joseph, all 11 brothers to be with Joseph. And so Jacob and Joseph and the entire family are together. They're going to be in Egypt for a while, quite a while, as you'll see in the book of Exodus. But we see towards the end of Jacob's life, being there in Egypt, he has a conversation with Joseph. And it says in Genesis chapter 48 in verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed." So he's an old man. He's 100-something years old, 130, 140 years old. And he sits up. He has respect for Joseph. Joseph was a young man that he respected. The other sons, he 10 older sons were not so happy with because they're the ones that sold him into slavery. But here Joseph always was his favorite. And so Joseph comes to him and Jacob sits up. And that was probably no easy task. I'm sure some of you understand that. And strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. So we see here that Jacob and Joseph are having this conversation. It's just before Jacob's going to pass away. And it says in verse 21, "And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." That's our lesson today. God shall be with you. Jacob, the father of Joseph, reached the time in his life when he knew he would soon meet God. the day of his earthly journey was nearing the end. And verse 21, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. And so we read that, and we read in verse 1 that Joseph was called to his father's side. He took his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, with him, and he wanted them to hear something from their grandfather. And as he spoke, Jacob said in verse 21, God shall be with you. This is a powerful truth. This is today's subject. God shall be with you. We're going to look at some verses. They're the verses that some of the ladies quoted from memory here in a minute ago. Moses gave the same encouragement to Joshua later on in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And I want to turn there and read it, the whole thing, Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I was reading about a lady who had lots of worries, and she just always was worrying and fretting. And this young man was apprenticing with a pastor. He was kind of just following around this pastor and learning from him. And this lady would complain about this and complain about that. And he listened to the pastor's response to her. And, of course, the pastor knew her pretty well and knew that this was just her habit of worry. And so the pastor said to the lady, has God forsaken you? Has God forsaken you? And she had to answer, no, no. Then he said, nothing is as bad as you think it is. Because no matter what, God is still there. He'll not fail thee, nor forsake. Yeah, but what if I die? He's still there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. If you're saved, he's never going to not be there. He'll always be there, and it might not feel like it, or you might not like where he's leading, but he's always there. So as believers, we are never alone. We're never alone. It's a wonderful thing about being a Christian is you're not alone. You don't have to be lonely. And so then in Hebrews chapter 13, I think someone else quoted that one this morning as well. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation, that's not just your speech. The word conversation a lot of times in the Bible is your whole life, your lifestyle. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So God's promise to never leave us or forsake us. We do not live our lives in loneliness because God is with us. And of course, Joseph knew that. Joseph had just spent a decade and a half alone with no one but God. His own dad didn't even think he was still alive. Nobody that loved him or that thought about him thought he was still alive. He was stuck in Egypt in a foreign country thought to have been dead. But God never left him nor forsake him. And so as the box says at the bottom of our page, what a comfort it is to know that we have Christ's companionship. And praise the Lord for that. I find myself singing a lot of times, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow as a shepherd with sheep. You know, the idea of shepherd and sheep. Shepherds don't give sheep assignments and then say, I'll be back next week. Shepherds don't do that. Shepherds daily, hourly are with their sheep. Just all the time. I need that. There's lots of times as a stupid independent sheep, I don't think I need that. But I find out the hard way, I need that. The Lord is my shepherd. And a shepherd and sheep relationship is a daily constant process. It's an one every time you are taking a step, the shepherd is watching to see where you're going and to go after you when you get astray. That's what I need. I need a shepherd relationship, and that's what we have when we get saved. We have Christ as our shepherd, and so I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord for that. So the three P's that we have today, the three points that we have that go along with this idea of never being alone but always having God with us, is first of all, obviously, God's presence. God's presence. Again, in Genesis 48, when Joseph was called to see his father, we read that Jacob straightened himself and sat up to speak with his son. This was important, so important that this old, old man, 130-something years old, is sitting up and wanting to talk to him. And the Bible says there in verse 3, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." The first thing Jacob says was, God came to me and God was with me. And you know what he's talking about here when he says Luz? Keep your finger in 48 and go back to 28. We have a song in the back of our hymnal called Back to Bethel. Luz was actually Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. Genesis 28, this is kind of the beginning of Jacob's spiritual journey. It says in verse 10, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And so there's the promise right there. I'll be with you, I'll not leave you, and I'll not forsake you. And Jacob awaked, verse 16, out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And he knew it not. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had made put for a pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it and called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." God said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." That was at Bethel, and that's why we sing that song, getting back to Bethel and getting in the presence of God, getting right with God. But the truth is, God would never leave him nor forsake him. And so Bethel is not really just a place. It is called Luz, but it was a place where God met with Jacob and where Jacob met with God. The first thing we see is that God came to me and God was with me. He said, I had an experience and I heard from God and we communed one with another. And God was with me. And so that's why he's saying God will be with you. Now over in John chapter 14, Jesus says this. John chapter 14, to his disciples, Jesus says in verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." You say, well, how can we have God with us today? Through salvation. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God is the comforter. And he comes to dwell within us and to remind us and to lead us and direct us. Right now, I've got two sons that just flew to Mexico yesterday. They're going to be there for a missions trip for the next 10 days. And then they'll come home. And I can't be with them. I can't be with them along the way. I can't be with them through every step. There's lots of dangerous things that can take place, especially in a foreign country. People drive like maniacs in a foreign country. I've been to where they are right now. They've got all these red and white signs that look like our stop sign, except for them it says alto instead of stop, because that's Spanish. And alto means nothing. It really means nothing. That's why they have so many car wrecks over there. So what they do is they have alto, and nobody altos. So then they've got these speed bumps. And they have like several speed bumps. And I don't mean just little rumble strips. I mean speed bumps that launches your headlights into outer space when you hit one too fast. And they have those there because nobody altos. And it can be a dangerous place. Years ago, when my sister, who is now there, married to the missionary, my sister witnessed a car wreck that killed her father-in-law, her future father-in-law, right in front of her, because of this very thing. It can be a dangerous place. Any place can be dangerous. But the point is this, is that we trust that we're in the will of God, and that God will be with them. Now, if they have a wreck today, or if something terrible happened, does that mean God wasn't with them? No, God is still with them because they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. And if they were to die this week, they will be in heaven. God is always with his people and with his children. We have that comfort. And we have that comfort from the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us as soon as we are born again. So in John chapter 14, Christ promised that he would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to indwell every believer. Now, if, and underline the word if you are a child of God, the eternal Almighty God is living in you today. Think of his presence in your life. Again, we don't say it flippantly, but we just had a missions theme this past week. Your child is more safe with God on the other side of the world than he is with you outside of God's will. God with you. And we see this young man, Joseph, at age 17 in Egypt, all by himself, all kinds of issues, all kinds of temptations and dangers and whatnot. But God was with him. And God would continue to be with him. And that's the most important thing. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm so thankful for that. You know, I don't recommend listening to a lot of the news, but I get bits and pieces of it here and there, and it's usually so pathetic and so depressing. But you know what? The good thing is that I'm with someone, and he's with me, and it really doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's not ruining my day. It's not ruining my life. It's not ruining what I am supposed to be doing with my life, and I know he's with me. Chapter 16, John 16, 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This world is full of trouble and tribulation. I don't know that our country is really as homosexual as we're being told it is. We are being pushed. It's being pushed on us over and over again. And it's troubling just to see the way they push it. I guess it was this week, maybe it was yesterday, but this guy that now calls himself a woman, Jenner, whatever. So, he's now a Fox News contributor. Listen, I've been talking about Fox News for a long time. The point is this: it doesn't matter what the freaks are doing. I know who's with me. I'm not worried about, I recognize the world is a mess and I realize our country is, you know, sinking rapidly, but that doesn't matter in the big picture of me and God. I know where I'm supposed to be and who I'm with. That's a wonderful blessing. Praise God for that. And then chapter 15, John 15. Jesus talks about being the vine and how those of his that are attached to the vine are the branches. And it says, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you." And so we need to just remember that we need to abide in the vine. Now, when you stop abiding, not you personally, but your family, you can't lose your salvation. But if you have children that know about Jesus in their head, but they're not saved, they'll be like verse 6, where the branches, you know, when the branches stop abiding in the vine, you know what they do with the branches? They cut them off and they throw them in the fire. And this is really an illustration of the Jewish people and how that they stopped abiding in the vine, and many of them were lost. Just because you're a branch doesn't mean you're abiding in the vine. Just because your parents or your grandparents are wonderful Christians doesn't mean that you are. You have to be born again. God has no grandchildren. God has many adopted children, but none of them are grandchildren. In other words, you're not in because of your parents or your grandparents. You personally have to be born again. And that's abiding in the vine. And when we abide in the vine, we have his holy presence. And I am abiding in that vine, and that vine cannot be cut off. I have that eternal security and that salvation. And I know that his presence is with me because of salvation, not because of anything I deserve or anything that I have done, but because of his own salvation. So how many days do we live and never really recognize that God is with us? You ever just stop and think about how good God is? Praise God for His mercy. Just this week, a couple days ago, our transmission finally is going out. We thought it was going out a year ago or so. But it's 154,000 miles. It's probably time for it, especially those CVT transmissions that they put in those things. And so all of a sudden, you know, I got in the car and I was driving with Wilma, and she said it was kind of revving the other day, weird. And sure enough, boy, it just isn't taking off like it should. And so we had it checked out, and yeah, it looks like a transmission's going out. And you don't want to know how much a transmission costs. I didn't either until the other day, but you know what? There's so many good things about that. It happened right here in Custer. Wilma's talking about taking a trip this summer to her parents. I'm so glad it didn't happen in Missouri or halfway to Missouri. There's just so many things that are a blessing in disguise. There's so many things that are still. And besides that, it's a transmission, not a car wreck. There's lots of things that we can still be thankful for and praise God and just. How many times God is with us, and then how many close calls, and maybe a close call we didn't even know we had. God with us. God is with us. He's there for everything. He directs and steers in every path that we're in. If we're following His will, we can't go wrong, even if it does feel or look wrong at times. When we ask the Lord to forgive our sin and by faith receive Christ as our Savior, the Lord Jesus comes to live in us. And the Bible says He will dwell in us forever. So the question is, are you saved? Is He with you? Is His presence dwelling in you? Is He your shepherd? Are you a born-again Christian? Is He with you? Not just around you, but in you. Are you abiding in Him? So, number one, God's presence. Number two, then if you are saved, you have the opportunity to experience God's power. God's power. When you have His presence, you also have His power available to you. As we think of Jacob's life, Jacob had certainly seen disappointment and heartache. But God, by His power, sustained him until his dying day. Jacob had a lot of heartache. He had 10 sons that made up a huge lie about how that they found this coat all bloody and stained and ripped up. And they think it must have been their brother Joseph's coat, and he must be dead now. Some animal must have killed him. No, the truth is they sold him as a slave. You talk about heartache. You talk about losing your son Joseph and then having 10 other sons lying to you and covering it up. What a heartache, what a heartbreak and disappointment Jacob had there. He rehearsed some of his testimony. Going back to Genesis chapter 48, he talks about to Joseph about when Joseph's mother died, Rachel. It says there in chapter 48 and verse 7, he rehearsed the fact that Rachel had died. And it says in verse 7, "And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan when she was giving birth to Benjamin, Joseph's little brother. And as she was giving birth to Benjamin, she was dying. And in the land of Canaan, when there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem." And so Rachel had to be buried in what came to be known as Bethlehem. That had to have been a sorrowful time for both Jacob and a young boy named Joseph. So Jacob purposely brings up that sorrowful moment when wife and mother died and left them feeling alone. What's this old man saying to his son? He's saying that God gave him the strength to go on living. And that's God's power that enables us to do that. Gives us the strength and the stamina and the courage and the reminder that we just need to keep going forward even when our hearts are broken and when we've been left by a loved one. God's power, by His power, He can enable you to do with your life what you should be doing with your life, only by the strength, only by the power of God. And there are people, including people in our church, that do amazing things by God's presence and God's power. There are people in our church that operate day to day with all kinds of issues and struggles, and yet they conquer and they move forward by God's strength, the ability that He gives to do it. So as we look at our own lives, we must understand that we can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in John chapter 15, verse 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And that's what we need to get to, is realize that without God, we can do nothing. You may be broken and troubled, but God wants to prove Himself to you. He wants to prove Himself. I was just up here today holding the telephone song. That song is so old, that they don't even make telephones look like that anymore. It's a rotary thing. I mean, just talk about, I mean, the telephone song. And there's a bunch of adults sitting here, and we have visitors in here, and you're holding up this, you know, it's ratty, the corners are tattered or whatever, and some of these visuals have been around for years. But they can't find them because they don't make them anymore. And, you know, we thought about putting them up on a screen. That'd be a little easier, but, you know, somebody said, no, I like those old visuals. Anyway, I was just thinking about how so many churches today have gone to the smoke and mirrors. They've gone to the lights and the stage and the smoke wafting up or whatever it might be. And it reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, you know, the little guy behind a curtain, you know, making the Wizard of Oz look like something. We don't need to be a show. We don't need to be some kind of spontaneous, you know, entertainment thing. I feel sorry for people who get caught up in that because, you know what, we just need to prove that God is there. And we just baptized the whole family last week. And we didn't need smoke and mirrors to do that. You know what I'm saying? There isn't the need for us to help God out. And rather, it's the other way around. We just need God to be with us and realize that He wants to prove. See, if we can prove that His power is there and we don't need to help Him out. In other words, we can still have church even if the electricity goes off right now. You know how many people probably can't have worship today if electricity is shut off? Oh, there goes everything. Can't plug in half of their amps and all the other stuff and the lights and everything and the smoke and mirror. I'm just saying we don't need electricity to have power. We don't need electricity to have God's presence. And so the presence of God, the power of God, and most importantly probably through all this, the presence of God, is the peace of God. And so as Jacob's talking to Joseph, he gets to the end of this chapter. It says in verse 21, this is the theme for the day. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die. Now notice he didn't say it with a panic or crying with tears. He just simply said, I'm going to die. I mean, that's a fact. You might not like this, but the truth is you are going to die. And you don't even know how soon that's going to be. The truth is we're all dying. We're getting closer to our death than we've ever been before. But Jacob has matured in his life to the point where he just says to his son, I'm going to die. Pretty soon I'm going to be dead. By God's grace, he looks at death without worry or frustration. I heard of a very, very famous Hollywood actor. If I said his name, everybody would know who it is. But when he was on a gurney being rolled into the hospital with so much pain of cancer and knowing that he's getting close to death, he just starts crying. They said he was just crying uncontrollably. Listen, pain probably can give you some reason to cry, but I don't think that's why he was crying. I think it's because he was about to leave everything he knew. If you know you're not going to leave everything you know, but you're actually going ahead, you're going to see your loved ones again, and you're going to be with Abraham and Isaac, and you're going to be in heaven with God, there's no need to fear death. There's a peace that passes all understanding. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so he just says to his son, I'm going to die. And God's grace enables us to look at death like that. He had perfect peace at this time. There were times in Jacob's life where he wasn't walking with God. He wasn't always close to the Lord. But I think Jacob finally realized that God's in charge and he always has been. And he's known all along what he's doing. And I can rest in that. So he said, God, verse 21, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. And that's really enough. And not only will he be with you, he will bring you again into the land of your fathers. It's going to take a while. We'll find out it's going to take several centuries before that happens. But God will be with you and he will bring you all, you, our family, back to the promised land. He knew that God was in control and that the Lord would work everything out perfectly. And I've got this note. I got a sticky note stuck to my computer tower next to my desk there. And it says something like this. Be so confident in God's plan that you're no longer frustrated when things don't go your way. Just be so confident in what God's doing that it just doesn't matter if it didn't go according to your plan, because it's still going according to God's plan. God's in charge. He's in charge of everything. And so he could have perfect peace knowing that God will work it all out. God's desire is for people to come to him. And maybe we want them to come to him right now. But maybe he knows that they're not ready to come to him right now. Their hearts are still hard. They're still pointed in a different direction. And it breaks our heart to see loved ones go the opposite direction from the way God would have them to go. But you know, that doesn't mean they can't get saved. That doesn't mean that they won't get saved. I don't know for sure, but there was a guy hanging on a cross. And who knows, maybe someone had been trying to tell him about Jesus for years. And one day, hanging on a cross, he realized, this really is Jesus hanging next to me. And he asked for salvation at the very last minute. And God saved him. So don't ever give up. Don't ever think that it's too late. Don't ever think that there's real trouble that can't be handled. Because when you're with God, there is peace that passes all understanding. Many people today are worried. And I get it. I get it. We live in the land of the fruits and the nuts. And we're being it's being pushed in our face that this is normal. And somehow if you tell someone who is transgender that they're not normal, that's mean. In fact, that's hateful. Okay? Meanwhile, if you are transgender and you go into a Christian school and shoot some innocent 9-year-old kids, that's not called a hate crime. So we live in a land where good is evil and evil is good. We live in a world that is crazy. And I can see why many people are worried. But do you know why? Because they fail to see God's promises and they do not appropriate these promises to their lives. You see, if you read the last book of the Bible, you realize that there's going to have to be certain things taking place before it all culminates. There is going to be a one-world government. I don't want it. I'm an American, man. I hate that idea. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible indicates that. And no man will be able to buy or sell without this certain mark. And so cash has to go. And guns have to go in order for all that to come about. That's so anti-American because America has a biblical foundation. So you got to erase the biblical foundation. You got to erase the biblical. And they're successfully doing that. I know of people right now, because it's Easter, they are all getting together as a family without going to church. It's like the holiday is about Jesus. No, it's so that we can have family time. Wow. No wonder we're a mess. We don't even know what our holy days are, our holidays are about. So I get it. It's because people fail to see God's promises. They're not right with the Lord. They're not close to the Lord. They're not walking with the shepherd. So they're not ready for what's coming. And they can't appropriate those promises to their own lives because they fail to see them. There is no peace without resting in the Lord. And people are chasing, people who have millions of dollars are still chasing for peace and happiness. People who have way more money than I do, who a bill for a transmission would be like, who cares, man? Like that's pocket change. And yet they don't have peace. They don't have any rest. They have to take something to rest. They don't have peace that passes all understanding. But you and I can trust God with everything. Philippians chapter 4 is a promise of that. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means be full of care or be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's what happens. If you're a Christian and you are not anxious, but you have with supplication and thanksgiving, don't forget to thank God. Letting your requests be known to God. The peace of God, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think that's why some people get high. their desire to get high so that they can have something that passes all understanding. Of course, there's a low that comes after that. But the peace of God, which is free, the peace of God, which has no bad side effects, passes all understanding and shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful and praise His name. And of all days, today, we who are believers have the reminder that, yeah, things can look bad. And if you were the disciples for 3 days, you were the absolute most defeated person on planet Earth. If you were the disciples, you were absolutely confused, frustrated, full of worry and fear and trouble and doubt and anxiety. And after 3 days, you found out that you didn't need to be all that worried. And they were absolutely blown away with what they realized God could do. So the peace of God comes by placing our faith in Him. And so we learn that God will be with you. His presence gives you power and gives you peace in a time when the world doesn't have any. And you know why that's good? Because somebody in this world is looking at you saying, wow, how what makes you tick? How is it that you can have this problem, and yet you're just still smiling and you're still going forward and you're not having to pop something and take a this or take a that or whatever. You seem to have something I don't have. That's hopefully what your testimony is doing. Hopefully your life is demonstrating that you are living in the presence of God and there's something different about you and I. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for, again, another opportunity to open up Genesis and to see this man's life, Joseph, and his experiences. Now his father, who's gotten right with You and is about to die and yet has the presence of God in his own life and is encouraging his son to remember that You'll not leave us nor forsake us. Thank You, God. Even in the midst of the storm and tragedy and pain and sorrow and lots of hurts and difficulties, that Your presence is still a constant that we can count on. And because of that, we have power. And most importantly, we have peace that passes all understanding. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.